I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may be a benefit to those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we all know, or most of us know, words have power. Power to give life and power to kill. Words can also reveal our true character. As the great philosopher Socrates said, speak so that I may see you. Every time we speak, those around us not only hear us, but see us for who we really are. Because we speak out of the abundance of the heart. The tongue is a small organ, but very difficult to control. It can corrupt and contaminate our whole body. That's why we need God's help. Putting on the new self includes our speech as well. Filthy and unclean words are just like a poison. Believers not only should put off the unwholesome language, but we must put on that which is edifying, that which brings life and grace to those who are listening around us, and even to our own self. In Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, we read, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise enhances knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. Out of all of God's creation, human beings are the only creatures who possess the ability to choose their words. This ability marks the difference between us and all of creation, including the angels, because angels obey what God says for them. You and I must be intentional and choose to speak words which will give life and edify others. Our words should reflect the work and the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. Proverbs 18:21 reminds us, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. We must speak words to change our situation and the situation in our children and family lives and our friends. That's why it's imperative for us to know the Word of God, the promises of God, and not use our words to talk about how bad the situation is or how bad the situation could be, but use the Word of God to change the situation. As we read, Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Our words can create great destruction. Foul language does not glorify God. It glorifies Satan. Here we see, as we read today, that there's a connection between our tongue, what we say, and our heart. Because again, out of the abundance of the heart speaks the mouth. Beloved, every word you and I speak, it's a seed. It's a seed that we plant. And because it is a seed, it will grow and it will bear fruit. I'll tell you how it works. You take a little child and you start speaking negative words over that child. You will never amount to anything. You're a bad idea. You were a one-night stand. You should have never been born. All you do is bring trouble into my life. I don't know what to do with you anymore. What is that person going to grow up to be? Just what you're describing. Just what you're watering with your words. Now, if the minute that baby is born, you hold that baby into your arms, and you say, "We're so glad you're here. We have been waiting for you for 9 months. We can't wait to see how God is going to fulfill his plan for your life." Because Jeremiah 29:11 says that he has a good plan for your life. And you start planting those seeds of greatness into that baby's life and toddler and child and teenager, and you know, people will come around and say, "Oh, teenage age is the worst. Oh, wait till he gets into the," and you said, "No, it's gonna be the best time in my child's life, and we're gonna grow together, and it's going to be fun." And you start speaking the word of God and planting and watering those seeds. That child is gonna grow up to be a man or a woman of God. Is he going to fail in certain areas? Welcome to life. Is he going to, or she going to miss the mark from time to time? Absolutely. But always knowing that there are promises for his or her life. Always knowing that at times, even when he pushes the fence, there's a family and there's a God who dearly loves him or her. Oh, what needless pain we bear when we do not control our tongue. You see, we're all tempted in this area, but we do not have to give into that temptation. We live in the world, but we're not of this world. We are called to a higher way of speaking and living. The world says, "What's the problem? They're only words. Who's going to be hurt by my words? God and those who are around listening." Foul language also corrupts our spirits and damages our relationship with God and with others. My friends, the power of words is undeniable. In the first chapter of the book of Genesis, we read the words God spoke. And they're there over 12 times. And every time that God spoke, he created. He said, "Let there be light." And there was. And in Hebrews 1:3, we read, we're reminded that God sustains all things by his powerful words. If we would have been born in France, we would speak French. In Italy, Italian. Where you and I have been born again. We belong to the kingdom of God. We must speak the language of heaven, a language that is pure. It's the language of faith. It edifies. It gives life. In a community of believers or in a family where all they speak to each other is unwholesome words and they're not kind to each other, the place becomes a toxic, unhealthy place. And these behaviors do not honor God. Thus, the community cannot prosper. Jesus himself said in Matthew, a house that is divided will not prosper. Our sinful actions do not just hurt the people around us. As we read, they also sadden and grieve the Holy Spirit. When we act contrary to the Word of God, we deny the power and the presence of God in our lives. Has it happened to you that you have done or said something that you know the minute it came out that that was the wrong thing to say? And right away you feel a sadness. That's conviction. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't leave us there. He invites us to repent, to ask God to forgive us, and to go to that person and to say, you know, what I did, what I said was wrong. Could you please forgive me? Again, the power of words is undeniable. Because once those words are out there, we cannot take it back. I am amazed at the things people post on Facebook and all social media. And some of them I see and I say, but that's so-and-so, he or she's supposed to be a Christian. And the way they speak about their fellow brothers or sisters in Christ. And there's a world out there watching it and wondering, are those the Christians? That's how they get along? Well, freedom of speech. I beg to differ. If we claim to be Christians, it says it right there. We just read it. No unwholesome speech. Our words need to be sweet. They need to give life. We don't want to grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. We know about King David. He was the greatest king Israel had. But there was a season in David's life that he lost his way. And he sinned really bad. And he thought he was doing good. As I said, he lost his ways. And when the prophet came and confronted him, he wanted to do something about that man that had done all those things wrong. And the prophet Nathan said, but David, you are that man. The minute he acknowledged his sins, he said, unto you, O God, I have sinned. Do not cast me from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Because he knew he had grieved the Holy Spirit. And he did not want the Holy Spirit to depart from him. So he pleaded with God. Now the verses we just read tells us that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Friends, that's good news. That means that the Holy Spirit is not going to depart from us. He's going to be grieved by our actions and words, or he could be quenched. But he's alongside, that's what the Greek word paraclete means, to comfort us, to stay with us through it all. The Apostle Paul then exhorts the believers to get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, and the inward resentments that we can accumulate against each other. People who possess these sentiments of anger and rage and wrath, they're like time bombs. They could go off at any time. They're not rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. We need to get rid of our bitterness, my friends. We need to put off all the sinful behaviors which corrupt our spirits and keep us from living that higher life in Christ. Kingdom life is different from the life the world offers us. We're called to be kind and compassionate to one another and to forgive each other just as Christ has forgiven us. To forgive means to cancel the debt. It's an act or an attitude toward those who have offended us, hurt us, which releases the individual from the debt and at times also restores. Forgiving ourselves and forgiving others should be a constant practice in our life, at times even daily. We have people in the body of Christ who are operating out of a shame base or unforgiveness. They've done something and they have not been able to forgive themselves. And that has created shame in them. And that's how they see themselves. They hate themselves. And so if someone comes around and says, "I love you," or try to prove to them how much they love them, they can never accept that love. Neither can they truly love someone else. Because if we don't love ourselves with healthy love, the way Jesus calls us to, then we cannot love anybody else. We need to get to a point in our lives where we say to those who are offending us, "I'm going to grant you grace." Now, this doesn't mean that you stay in that relationship and you become a doormat or you become, totally abused. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is forgiving and releasing the person and letting God deal with them. Absolutely removing ourselves from the relationship, yes. But forgiving. Otherwise, we become debt collectors. We take out the ledger at night and we read and reread the names of those who have hurt us. And in so doing, we rehearse the pain and try to figure out the ways in which we can get even. Thus, we remain bound by that pain and unforgiveness. Again, I'm not denying the fact that perhaps what was done to you was horrible. Because you see, forgiveness is a gift from God. Not so much for the offender, but for us. Because unforgiveness turned into a poison in our hearts. It's like carrying a dynamite in your pocket. When it explodes, the person that dies is yourself. I invite you today to release those who hurt you. Release them unto Jesus. You might say, "Well, you don't know what they did to me." I don't know. But God does. And he is a just God. We need to get to the point in our lives where we grant grace to others the same way Jesus has granted that grace to us. Freely you have received, freely give. You and I have a choice in the matter. We choose to forgive as we have been forgiven, or to be bound by unforgiveness and oppression for the rest of our lives. I have met people like that. Something happened to them when they were in their 20s, and here they're in their 60s, still carrying all of that, and always sick. Because you see, those deadly emotions, as many doctors call them, will eventually not only kill the spirit, but kill the body as well. I read that when the forefathers came to America, the land had to be cleared before it could be cultivated. They soon discovered that cutting down the trees was a small part of their task. A far more difficult job was clearing out the roots. If they were not removed, the area would soon be covered with a second growth. And the farmers would have to start all over again. Our hearts are just like the ground. Every bit of ugly ornament that we allow in, such as lying, stealing, unwholesome talk, bitterness, unforgiveness, etc., must be thoroughly uprooted before you and I can be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Remember, we have been called to a higher way of speaking and a higher way of life. The choice is ours. I pray that today, as you come to the table of the Lord, you would allow the Holy Spirit to uproot the bitter roots in your heart, the unforgiveness, to fall upon you in a fresh new way. If you are walking in sadness, depression, I pray that you would open your heart to him, so that he would remove that and give you the joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. In Jesus' name. Father God, I pray for every person here today. I don't know what they have in their hearts. It's none of my business, but you know. You see all things, you know all things, you're everywhere. I pray that we would be willing today to open our hearts to you and to say, come in, Holy Spirit. Bring your flashlight. Bring to light everything that has been in darkness in my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Forgive me, for I have sinned against you. In actions and words. I repent of my sins and receive your forgiveness. In Jesus' name. Amen.